This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Well, the countdown is beginning now for the Chris Waller stable and for the Robert Smurden stable, the two sprinters heading to Royal Ascot. Let's get the latest on the three-year-old colt Brazen Bow with our leading trainer, Chris Waller. Morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, Chris, you must be sort of, you're getting through the Sydney Carnival. We've got Hawkesbury Scone and the Brisbane Winter, but you must be also starting to focus in on Brazen Bow's trip.
Yeah, very much so. He had approximately 10 days off out of the farm, and the farm he's staying at is quite unique. It's a property called the Hermitage, and it's got an uphill straight very similar to most of the tracks in England, with the straight 12 or 1400 metre run. This track actually is, with a quite a significant uphill rise.
Yep.
He did quite a bit of his work there prior to coming to Melbourne in the autumn, or just gone.
Yep.
And he's quite familiar with it. So we're going to utilise it as a training tool to help him be ready for that tough uphill straight at Ascot. So he's had a couple of three-quarter pace gallops already. He came back into the stable at Rose Hill this week. He's going to do a little bit more training with us. And then we'll probably finish things off back out at the farm, which will include jump out up straight, probably 3.5 weeks before he leaves. And then I'd like to give him a really strong one, which will be similar to a race, either back out at the farm on the uphill track, or just get in touch with Robert Smurden and see if he wants to have a jump out at Flemington. But it'd certainly be a benefit to have all the work done before we get there, and hopefully everything's done so that he can just go over there, relax and perform and represent Australia well.
Well, you listen to the UK trainers when they come here. They like most of their work being done, don't they? So it hopefully works the other way.
Yeah, there's no doubt. With a horse, they'll recover quickly from any illness, stress, whether it be travel or a virus, so much quicker if they're not being put under intense pressure. So if you can have the work done and then put them on that plane, which is a massive trip for a horse, my best way of describing it is just like the ultimate toughest dose of jet lag you could ever imagine. That's what a horse goes through, and therefore you just got to have everything in your favour to make sure that 10 days or 14 days prior to the race goes in your favour, because yeah, it's a tough ask for a horse.
Yeah, no, I understand. We can feel it when we go, and it's such a long trip for them standing up and eating and drinking and trying to do the right thing on that long flight. Chris, when would be the plan to leave? Have you worked that sort of thing down at this stage?
Yeah, we have. I don't have the dates in front of me, yeah, but it was about 12 days prior to his race.
Okay.
Plenty of time.
And that's the main thing, to get him there, get him settled, and then get him to Royal Ascot and run well. So basically, after he won that new market down the straight at Flemington, Chris, you sort of tipped him straight to the farm there.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm so happy we did, because he doesn't like wet tracks.
Yep.
And if we ran him in the TJ, it would have been hard to see him perform at his best on that track. So you can't just keep having them peaking. You've got to say, well, look, this is the race I'm set for, and fortunately we did, because I think we're in a lot better position in comparison to last year where I was with Zoustar. He yep. ran in the autumn carnival. He ran in the Canterbury Stakes, went poorly, yep, and we were just on catch up from that point on, and it just wasn't going into the race the right way, and as a result we aborted the trip.
And Chris, just finally, just on that Royal Ascot, you've been over there and seen the uphill rise. You obviously feel that to train the horse like you are out at the farm, the Hermitage, this is so important to him.
Well, I think so. Most of the trainers I've spoken to have said, look, don't even worry about it. Just turn up there on the day and then basically worry about it afterwards. But I just think if you can be properly prepared, which not many people would be in the position to do, I think let's try and do it.
Yeah.
I'm mindful. I don't want to take the speed out of him. I don't want to change anything with the horse, the way he races. But if you're getting the horse's body well adjusted to that type of racing, I'm sure it's got to be an asset, because what people probably don't understand is they use different muscles when they're going uphill.
Yep.
And, it creates a lot of pressure in their hindquarters, and the weight gets disembursed around the body so much differently. So, yeah. I don't know.
You'll know, I guess, after the race, Chris.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah. And all you can do is properly prepare, and that's certainly what we're trying to do. And, yeah, we're very proud to get the opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. And will it be one, or will the first run determine what could happen after that?
I think it pays to prepare for the first one on the Tuesday, because, look, as I said, if you hang out for the 1200 metre race on the Saturday and you get a wet track, well, we're left in an awkward position. So, look, they think we're mad backing horses up, but you take over targets, Schwarziers, and many of the horses have proven that you can. And, it'd be, I don't know, if he could back up, it'd be terrific and have the two runs.
Yep.
But if it doesn't work out that way, well, so be it. And if the owners want to say, look, no, we definitely want to run over 1,200, well, we'll probably have to just wind him up a bit more to ensure that he is ready for that tough 1,200, which is just that little bit harder as well.
Yeah, no, well, look, you've mapped it out just listening to you this morning, Chris, exactly what you want to do with Brazen Bow. We'll count it down, because we here in Australia want our horses to run proud over there at Royal Ascot, and we're keen to support you, mate. Good luck with the next few weeks before he heads off.
Much appreciated. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Waller joining us with the very latest on Brazen Bow.
Bringing you your daily fix of racing news on Sky Sports Radio. This is Racing HQ.
It is, and just some other news on Sharmil Wind, who's at this stage the other horse heading with Brazen Bow to run in the King Stand for Robert Smerton. He had a week and a half freshening up after winning the Oakley Plate. He's at Caulfield in Melbourne, ticking over perfectly, and they'll just manage her normally, and leave about 12 days before the race. The King Stand is over 1,000 metres down Royal Ascot Straight in England on June 16. Oh, by the way, with Brazen Bow, Joe Marrera is about 99% sure to take the ride, because we expect Abel Friend to be at Royal Ascot, and he would be there to ride both Abel Friend and Brazen Bow. One horse that I just wanted to get an update here is Rich Enough. Remember the three-year-old colt trained by Kenny Keys down in Victoria at Cranbourne? He's got a win over Brazen Bow. Good morning to you, Ken.
G'day, Andrew.
Good to talk to you. You obviously missed the autumn due to an issue. Can you remind us what that was, Kenny?
Yeah, there was a ligament issue in his back foot, hock area. And the prognosis initially was a bit ordinary. But since he's had a bit of time off, he's come good, and the vets have given him the all clear.
Well, that's fantastic news, because at the time, I remember, you know, we had you on that morning, and I guess when it happens, you're sort of thinking, oh, geez, what are we going to do here?
Yeah, and look, the vets were very, initially, they gave us not a lot of hope, but nature's done most of it, so he's good as gold.
So it's just been a case of putting him in a paddock, letting him relax, and let that injury resolve itself by the sounds of it?
Basically, just natural rest, Andrew, yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
As far as the paddock, he went to a very good paddock in the sense he's up at Woodside Park at the moment, and he's sort of slumming with the likes of Zoostar and Written Tycoon. So.
That's not a bad place. I hope those other horses aren't talking to him, mate. We want him to race on this horse.
Yeah. No? They had a stallion parade there the other day, and he happened to join it.
Oh, fair dinkum, did he?
Yeah.
No, well, so he's up there. So the plan is you're aiming solely on the spring.
Yeah, that's it, Andrew. Look, he'd come back now, but what would we do with him?
Yeah,
so we'll leave him out there for another, you know, 6 weeks.
Yep.
And then look forward to spring.
Well, that's the main thing, and I guess you've just got to have a normal preparation, and hopefully that ligament problem doesn't, you know, rise its ugly head again.
Yeah, I think there's every confidence that that's the case. So, Yeah, look, can't wait.
Well, you can't because, I mean, as I say, had a win over Brazen Bow in the Dane Hill. You ran beautifully in the Caulfield Guineas Prelude. You were so tough behind shooting to win. We know how good he can be on his day, Ken.
Yeah, it's exciting to have that, you know, there in front of you. And, yeah. Look, Brazen Bow got us a cool. That's when we obviously were over the top.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
So I think I'd like to have another crack.
Yeah, no, I understand. In the time that he's been off, have you had a bit of a discussion with the owners about what distance you'd like to aim at?
Look, I think he's so brilliant, I suppose, in how he travels. I think from now on, I would imagine 1,400 would be as far as we want to be going.
Yeah, yeah, because he's just so good at 12, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's not a get-back horse, so he'll create his own spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's where we'll be heading.
All right. Well, we're crossing the fingers because he could be a spring star for all concerned there. You mate, you would have been thrilled with Like a Carousel.
Yeah, very happy. Very, very happy.
Oh,
people actually thought we'd probably won it, but they didn't realise the pressure.
Well, you can get a photo, cut it up, and you can be the winner for your sake, Ken.
Yeah, the winner, nothing else was in it.
No, the winner was pretty good, but you cleared out on the third horse, mate. I mean, he's just a dead set stayer, isn't he?
Yeah, and look, when you sort of actually analyse the race, I can probably find more credit for him because the two, Chris's two horses, through different reasons, they were back off that hot speed and we were the only one left standing off that hot speed up front or in the front group. So, look, I think there's more to come. I hope so.
Yeah, a lot of still upside to go into the spring with him.
Yeah, and I believe our rating went up high enough to nearly get us into the Melbourne Cup. Yeah.
Well, that's half the battle. I mean, you don't want to be chasing yourself too hard in the spring because by the time you get to the Cup and get in, you're out of puff.
And that's what we found, and that's what we actually unfortunately did last year when we brought him to Sydney. We came here at the end of a prep when you'd done everything trying to get ratings, whereas this year we've come up here on our third run and he ran super.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, he was pretty good. We look forward to seeing both of these. Ken, got anything for the winter?
Holiday.
You've always wanted to take one, mate, so go and do it if you can, but we're looking forward to the spring already, particularly with Rich and Up. We'll cross our fingers we can get him back, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Cheers.
Good on you, Ken. Ken Keyes joining us there with Rich Enough. Either side of, though, you know, talking around Brazen Bow, he's got that form. He can be very good in the spring. Well, let's talk to Perth trainer Jim Taylor. He's in Adelaide with Magnificio, the winter bottom winner. Morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you. You did a bit of travelling just over a week ago with this horse coming across from Adelaide, from Perth, I should say, to Adelaide.
She flew over on the Wednesday night, spent a day in Melbourne, and then Thursday night she arrived early Friday morning.
So she's been there nearly a week. How's she doing, given, would this be her first decent trip away?
She's never been away.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's her first time being away.
Yeah, so how's she cope with it?
Really good. Took a couple of days to settle in, but, really good now. She's eating her head off and seems to be enjoying it.
So I guess you're there for the Robert Sangster in a couple of weeks' time, but how do you see this race on Saturday, the Irwin?
She's normally better second up, but I sort of had a pretty fit when she left home, and she's drawn a good barrier. And there's a good billy in it, plate let.
Yeah.
A good mare in it, plate let. Sort of be hard to beat, but she's probably as fit as I've had her first up, so she should go well.
Those two trials, did you have the two back at home knowing you had this travel and race in mind?
Yeah, that was the purpose of it, you know, just to sort of have a sort of probably fairly fit where normally she only has one trial into a first up run. She had to do the travel, so I knew I'd have to give her a few light days, so that was for that reason.
So, I mean, you mentioned platelet. Caracatus goes all right too for Richard Jolly. So it's a case where you get this run. Sounds like she's pretty fit, but the main reason you're there for the Robert Sangster?
Yeah, Group 1 mare's race looked at the 1,200, probably her preferable distance. Looked a good option. So, whatever she does, she should improve a little bit on for second up.
And Jason Brown, obviously, you've used a few jocks back home, but Jason knows the horse extremely well and knows the mare extremely well.
Jason's always ridden her when I haven't claimed, but going through the classes when she had big weights, Chris Parnham rode her a fair bit, won about four or five on her, but Jason, and when Jason was suspended, Chris Parnham rode her, but Jason's ridden it for the majority of starts.
That Winterbottom win, I mean, you beat some Eastern State horses, but you've ended up beating Waterman's Bay, who since then has gone to Melbourne and won. So the form around the Winterbottom from the summer's pretty good.
Yeah, well, when Danny Morton seemed to improve Waterman's Bay out of sight, I don't know, he wasn't firing in Melbourne, and since whatever Danny did with him really improved him, and sort of he was good enough to win a race a couple of weeks ago again.
Yeah, no, she was good. Mate, just before I let you go, how's Barrackey back home?
Yeah, he's good. He's had a couple of trials, and he's due to start Sunday week in the Northern Stakes. The race Magnificio won last year and won a couple of years ago, so he should be ready for them.
All right, so that's Northern on Sunday week. We're looking forward to that because...
Sunday fortnight,
is it? Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you had the thought of Melbourne in the autumn, but delayed it and wait and see how he goes this time.
He won't ever travel again. His legs aren't good enough to sort of put up with the rigours of trained on a racetrack. He's fine when he's at home on our soft track where I work him, but he'll just stay at home from now on.
Yeah, okay. All right, mate, good luck on Saturday. I hope she runs well for you, Magnificio.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Jim. Jim Taylor there, Reading Perth trainer in Adelaide to run in the Irwin Stakes over the 1,100 there. He's mentioned Platelet, the Messina Nymphs in the race for Tony McAvoy, and, of course, as Rifleman's in the race, Caracatus, as I mentioned, and Leon and Troy Corstens have sent over Tried and Tired, who's first up into the race as well. So it's not a bad race there, the Irwin Stakes at Morfordville on on Saturday. Spoke with Roger James off air this morning just to get an update on Silent Achiever. Of course, we spoke to him last Thursday. The final decision on her next run will be made on Saturday morning. She's going to put in a gallop over there in New Zealand. She is booked to fly to Queensland on Sunday to run in the Hollandale at the Gold Coast on Saturday week. So we'll have to wait and see on that gallop, but a final decision on Silent Achiever to be made on Saturday morning. Darren Weir joins us from Ballarat in Victoria. Morning to you, Darren.
Hi, Andrew.
Very well, mate. Thanks for taking our call. Looking forward to seeing Lucky Hustler in Sydney on the weekend.
Yeah, the horse is going really well, Andrew. Obviously, the barrier doesn't help the situation, but no. I think he deserves his shot at a race like this.
Well, you came off a wide barrier there in the William Reid, not as wide as this, obviously, and a larger field in this race, but sitting off the pace, the horse has got a really good finish.
Yeah, and that's the way to ride him. He's got to be, obviously, Glenn rode him excellent in the William Reid and got the luck on the corner. But that's what the good jocks do. And, I'd say he'd have to be ridden the same way, ridden quiet to be strong late. And we're hoping he can run well.
Yeah, for sure. As you say, he deserves a crack like this, doesn't he, now?
Well, I think he does. He progressed really well throughout the spring and, ran well in the Emirates and then... The William Reid was always a nice target race to kick him off. And, we didn't expect him probably to run like he did, but we knew he was in good order and thought that he would run well. And, he ran above expectations, I guess. But he's been in the same sort of order heading to Sydney.
I know, talking to you off-air earlier in the week on Tuesday, is he a horse that you use your Warrnambool base regularly with Lucky Hustler?
Yes, he is, Andrew. He's done all his work there. He's just... He was very, very uptight sort of horse, and he just didn't suit our Ballarat stable. Although the hill trek's sort of pretty relaxed way of training as well, but at the beach he's just settled into that training regime, and he loves the work at the sand dunes. So suits that sort of horse.
Well, he's a horse that gets to this trip second up. You've done it second up in the past when he's run pretty well behind Trust in a Gas. So he is capable. As you say, you've just got to get Bossy to give him the nice ride.
Yeah, I'm sure hopefully he can do that. But, this is obviously a stronger race than the William Reid, and you'd have to run a lot probably better than what he did in the William Reid, but we're just hoping he can... take that form there and hopefully can be a top four chance.
Yeah, for sure. Well, good luck with that. I've got to ask you, I mentioned Trust in August. It returns there at Caulfield on Saturday. How's the preparation been for the first up run?
He's in great order now, Andrew. He's 3 weeks behind where we were hoping to have him because we were planning on him resuming in the William Reid as well. But unfortunately, he was just behind the eight ball a bit. No problems. It was just just took him longer to come right. But yeah. He's in great order now. He had a jump out on Tuesday. It worked very well. So expect him to run really well, Sadie.
Yeah, you've drawn a nice gate. I mean, he is always capable. I mean, he's got a good record anyway. But his fresh form is pretty good, Darren. Is he forward enough to be in it again at 1,200?
Yeah. Fitness-wise, he's great. So, you know, this is obviously his last prep before he goes off to Saturday. Fix is supposed to stand there, so he'll run Saturday and then he'll head up to Brisbane for the three Group 1 races up there, hopefully.
Yep, let's hope so. All right, I think you've given us the right word there on trust in August. Two others before I let you go, mate, from a non-racing at this stage. Dan Dino and Sizemoss, are they both with you now?
Dan Dino's been in and had a rehab program. Andrew, obviously had an injury, but the leg looks fantastic. And he's just gone back to Darren Dance's place at Milan to have 3 weeks off.
Yep.
And he'll head to our beach stable to head towards the spring.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Let's hope so, because we know he's got the talent if you can keep him sound. And I guess that's the question mark.
Yeah, it is, obviously, you know, and being a stallion too, he's quite a heavy horse, so, you know, we think we've got the right systems in place to help horses like this, but it doesn't always work, so, you know, it's nice to be trying with nice horses like this.
Yeah, exactly. I should have known before I ask you this one, have you got a runner today?
Yes, we have three at
Bendigo.
Yep.
I'm going to test the memory now, what's the best one?
I'm not sure really, Andrew, there's a couple in the stallion race later in the day that'll run pretty well, I reckon.
Yeah, that's Raki Roulette and Host Me.
Yeah, I think Raki Roulette's the best one of mine for sure.
Righto, the best there, race 9, number 3. Hey, mate, good luck. I know you're busy, like all trainers. We thank you for your time this morning. Good luck with Lucky Hustler.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Darren. Darren Weir joining us from Ballarat. Lucky Hustler heads to Sydney tonight to run in the Schweppes All Age. That track at the moment out at Randwick's a soft 5. They missed that storm that Hawkesbury got. Only 0.4 of a millimetre fell last night. Showers are still forecast tomorrow and Saturday, but we'll wait and see. But at the moment a soft 5, warming to 28 today. It could be a good 4 by the end of the day, which is fantastic. 24 to 10.